Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're back on the air this week talking about bunkers and all sorts of security shelters and things that you can do to be safe from storms, from invaders, from whatever you may be worried about, and also being able to protect your valuables for an extended period of time. Right, Amy?
That's right, Doug. We are back, and very happy our listeners are with us today. And with Ready Radio, this is what our fourth time airing there, Doug, I believe it is. And Ready Radio, just sort of as an umbrella, everything that we talk about just kind of circles around emergency preparedness. And today we have bunkers.
And if any of our listeners have missed previous episodes, they're available at readyradio.net. You can listen to our prior shows. We've done shows about storms and zombies and other various topics. But today, we're going to take a step back and take a look at what you can do to build up your home or your structure, wherever it may be, to be better prepared for a variety of different things. And the beauty about the entire concept of a bunker or a storm shelter or even just a cellar is that it has multiple uses. And here we're looking at things that you can do to be ready for a tornado, or to be ready for a hurricane, or to be ready for if someone were to break into your house, or to just be ready for a fire and have your valuables protected in that manner. So there's a whole bunch of different options with storm shelters and fire protection and these structures that we're looking at. And at one end, we have the ever-popular Connex container. These are the big shipping containers, yes, that you see that come off the ship and go straight on to the back of the semi-truck and gets taken to Walmart and then unloaded. And they're metal and they're rectangular and they are relatively cheap.
Yes, they are. I've actually looked into them personally myself and just kind of, let me tell you, there's a lot of info on the internet just kind of digging around and seeing what you can find with these shipping containers. And it's kind of impressive, some of the little buildings that they put together, put little, you know, stacked stone around the front and, you know, kind of prettied them up on the inside. One of the things, Doug, that I had seen was a lot of people were trying to bury these shipping containers and kind of use them as like a little bunker underground, I guess.
Well, that's an interesting idea because they are rather sturdy, but I would think that you'd run into problems when you start to put all that dirt on top of it.
Well, that's what I found out. So doing a little bit more research and kind of digging around, luckily, Doug, I must say I'm pretty good about learning from other people's mistakes. So I like to educate myself before, because let me tell you, I mean, that's no small task. I have a couple kids with shovels, I guess, or whatever, but I don't know how long it would take to dig that big of a hole. But let me tell you, I've even seen some of the pictures online of these containers collapsing in on themselves with just all the pressure from the dirt.
Oh, no, that's really where you want to be. You want to be in your rusty Connex container underground, and all of a sudden you start to hear this creak and maybe a little bit of metal groaning, right, and the next thing you know, it's collapsed in on you.
Yeah, that's not my idea of a good time.
Wow. Well, you know, the flip side is they are relatively inexpensive. You're looking at $2,000 for a used one, up to about $5,000 for a new one. And, you know, my grandparents, I remember them talking about getting one on wheels to be able to put all their excess stuff in down at the farm. And I looked at them, I was like, you know, all you'd need then is to have someone pull up with a right attachment, hook up, and haul all your stuff away.
That's right, with a big old thank you note that they leave behind.
That ended that conversation pretty quickly. So I kind of know what they cost, but they're not really the best solution for burying and trying to live out of. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, have you ever heard of the Greenbrier Hotel?
I have not, Doug.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
It is a luxury hotel. They have a full staff. They cater. It's, I believe, 5-star. It's in West Virginia. And they have horses and a golf course and an underground bunker.
Hmm. And an underground bunker. Well, it sounds a little out of my price range. Maybe that's why I've never heard of it.
Well, actually, you paid for it.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The bunker was built with taxpayer money.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
Because the Greenbrier is close enough to Washington, D.C., that it was the evacuation location for Congress and their families. It was designed to hold about 1,100 people in the event of a nuclear attack. It's got a 30-ton door that they can seal themselves in with. And when they got there, it had facilities not only for recreation, but also for maintaining government. There is a full room in there that Congress can hold Congress in and make executive decisions and keep continuity of government going during the nuclear attack that was pending.
Is this something that's open to the public? Is it something that we could actually visit and see?
In 1992, the Washington Post broke a story and revealed the secret of the Greenbrier's bunker. So after that, they started to decommission it, and the Greenbrier does hold tours, and if you go stay at the hotel, you can go walk through where Congress was going to be hiding. Now, I can only assume that since that has been declassified and decommissioned, that they have built an entirely new structure within 30 miles of D.C. with even better amenities that we don't know about, again, with your taxpayer money.
Yeah, that sounds like a good assumption.
So we've got, you know, a vast array of different types of bunkers that are out there. It seems like most of them that we're talking about are underground bunkers, and that's pretty prevalent, wouldn't you say?
I think so. I'm just not real sure, Doug, how if I'm real interested about going underground, to be honest with you. I was on my way up here up to the show this afternoon, and just jumping in the elevator to come on up. We're on the sixth floor up here. And, you know, I wouldn't really classify myself as like on the extreme side of being claustrophobic. But you know what? Let me tell you, I just watched this movie the other day. It was American Blackout. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. What channel was it on?
You have to see it. It was on, it's a National Geographic, the Nat Geo. And I missed it. So I just looked it up on YouTube and watched it one night. And it's just basically about, you know, the electrical grid going down. And we talked about EMP a couple of weeks ago, but this was like a cyber attack. So the electrical grid is down. And one of the, basically the movie is done by little video clips for people carrying around their phones or video cameras. And it kind of follows people from place to place. Well, part of it that they followed during this movie were people that got stuck in an elevator. And when I pushed that button to come on up to the sixth floor, let me tell you, I really kind of thought about maybe taking the stairs.
So you thought maybe Anonymous was going to take down the grid while you were trying to get up here?
You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Because I think they said that there were about like 300,000 elevators in the United States or something. I forget what the number was, but that's a lot of elevators, and that's a lot of people getting stuck in elevators. But
it's not just for your health taking the stairs. It's for your sanity, apparently, too.
Apparently, especially if you're claustrophobic, which kind of brings me back to thinking, you know, sort of the size. And we talked about sort of the shipping containers and then, of course, this big luxury, you know, bunker that you just described to us. And I don't think I'd be too claustrophobic in something like that. I'm wondering if there's maybe something that might be available
in between,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because coming up in our next segment, we have a special guest this week. Shelley Hill from Protective Structures is going to be with us to talk about all of the different options that you can get for your storm shelter or your bunker.
Well, that's good, because honestly, I need to know what my options are. Doug, that's something that I have, that's a step that we have not personally taken. And because I have never lived through a hurricane, I've never been in a situation personally where I felt like I needed to have a bunker. But on the flip side, I'm extremely interested in something in the future as far as like investing in.
I've been concerned about the cost primarily. Mm. I have never lived through a hurricane. My wife has lived through several tornadoes. She lived up in Dahlonega when she was growing up, and they had a lot of tornadoes go through there, and she was used to that kind of weather pattern. So that's something that has come up before and is important to her. I think that it's important more for issues like home invasions or just protecting your valuables. But, you know, I bought a safe recently, a large 36-gun safe, and that thing set me back almost $4,000. And I would hate to think about, you know, building an entire room out, what it would end up costing.
That's true. Yeah, I guess, I mean, if it's something big enough that you would have bunk beds, because when I'm thinking of bunkers, I'm thinking of bunk beds, you know, a place where I could sleep and have, you know, my family sleep. I'm thinking of a place that I can store food and water, and also, you know, maybe, gosh, I don't know what I would do as far as like a toilet situation goes, but maybe we can kind of dig into that a little bit later in our show.
Agreed. My primary concern is just having a room that's secure so that nobody can just get into my room and start hauling my things out through the front door. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't care how well secured your house is, it's pretty easy to get into a house through a window, and the next thing you know, people are just carting things off while you're left standing there. So we're coming up on a commercial break. Our next segment, we're going to have Shelley Hill here from Protective Structures talking about everything you need to know about protective structures, bunkers, and storm shelters. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking around. We are talking about bunkers today on Ready Radio. And we have a guest with us today. And Doug, would you let us know who we have?
Well, Shelley Hill just joined us here in studio. She is from Protective Structures. And Protective Structures is a full-service structure building company. They do storm shelters. They do in-ground installation, in-home installation. They do residential, corporate, and government applications. Their products are FEMA rated. They have ballistic and forced entry safe rooms. They have classroom security locks. And it is just an amazingly broad product line for everything that we're talking about today. And we're really glad to have you here today, Shelley.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, how did you come to work for Protective Structures?
Actually, my best friend is Cassie Schlosser, and she is the president of Protective Structures. And she asked me several months ago if I would join her team and do some sales for her. And it worked out pretty good because my whole background is based on protection.
So you're an engineer then?
No, not quite. I started out, I just had my 25th year in the medical field, and I consider that kind of protection. My husband and I own Fusion Fitness and Mixed Martial Arts in Marietta, hence protection. I also volunteer my time for Rachel's Rest, which is a retreat program for sexually abused women and children, hence protection. And I also help out.
Yeah,
I also help out at Center Mass Tactical Training, which is a where you have instructors with an outdoor course teaching pistol fundamentals, hence protection.
Let me ask you, just before we get into the meat of our conversation, you mentioned Rachel's Rest. What is that?
Rachel's Rest is a nonprofit Christian organization. It came to fruition about a year and a half ago. And once again, a friend of mine who is a Christian counselor, she did not want to deal with insurance anymore and turn away any clients due to money. So she decided she was going to go with nonprofit and asked me if I would help in the marketing and raise awareness on that. So we've been doing that for about a year and a half now.
Do they have a website that our listeners could go to?
That would be wonderful. Yes. If you're interested in helping out or sending a gift, then you would go to rest.org.
And it is such an important thing to be doing. The victims of sexual abuse are prevalent. I know that the statistics are incredibly high. Yeah. Where I used to live, that they were astronomically high, and it affects people in ways that we don't even realize. And so this is something that our listeners can reach out to and help and be a part of the community. And that's one of the things, it's really important that we as a community, as people who are aware of preparedness and who are trying to pull things together, take a broader perspective and reach out to help our fellow man. And I think that this is something that we can do not only as a radio show here, but as individual preppers to come together and find good organizations like Rachel's Rest to be able to contribute to and to be able to help with. But it comes back full circle. You've been in protection in a variety of fields, just the way we are trying to protect people here through our outreach. And as we make people more aware of the products and services that they can use to protect themselves, how they can be ready for disasters, how they can be more fully prepared for whatever comes in their future, this is an important aspect for us all to be cognizant of and to work on.
That's right. Yeah. And Shelley, I was kind of wondering if you have ever, we're talking a little bit about the underground bunkers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Shelley, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit of a hobbit. I've always had this, I've got furry feet, and I have overwhelming desire to come up with a nice little hobbit hole with a green wood door that I can have. I can bake my bread in. I can keep all my goodies, and we can have dinner and supper and afternoon tea and six meals a day, and it'll be awesome. So what do you have that would be appropriate for a hobbit? Is it, let me guess, I'm going to get my Connex container, I'm going to get Amy's kids out there with shovels, and we're going to be set.
Actually, before I answer that, I've got a heck of a visual going on right now, Doug, and it's taken me back a bit. So to answer your question, no, you do not get shovels. At Protective Structures, one of the shelters that we do offer is called a refuge below ground shelter, and these come in various sizes. It's double welded, pressure tested. It goes below the ground at 18 inches. One of the things that you had mentioned earlier, you were worried about all the dirt on top and cave-in, so on and so forth. This particular structure is actually domed. And when it's a domed structure on top, that means that it spreads the brunt, if you want to call it, of the weight, so you don't have a cave-in situation. You can customize this. It's coated with cold tar epoxy, so many people are worried about rust, and that's just not something that's a problem anymore.
Actually, something that came to my mind was I could use different materials besides my rusty Connex container, like concrete. I could pour concrete. Oh my goodness, I could even just put a cap on my swimming pool.
Oh wow.
And I would be set, Amy.
There we go. There it is.
We're back to that no. That no again. concrete, yeah, it's definitely affordable, but there's tons of maintenance issues. Concrete absorbs moisture, mildew, mold, and it's prone to cracking. So you definitely want to stay away from that if you're thinking long term.
Well, how about fiberglass then? I've seen fiberglass structures that people put in the ground, other companies offer. How about fiberglass?
Fiberglass is actually better than concrete. It's a little bit more expensive when you're comparing it.
See, we're moving on up.
Yep,
we're
moving up.
Now we're in the, the deluxe apartment underneath the ground.
That's right. We're going to have your little green door here in a minute.
So to say, if your hobbit shelter, yeah, if we can move up a bit. But the problem with fiberglass is that sometimes it doesn't offer enough strength, and it can actually crack. It could mildew also, but the main thing is that if there's any shifting in the dirt around it, it will actually crack the fiberglass structure.
So if I don't want my shelter looking like the back end of a Corvette in a collision, I'm going to have to stay away from fiberglass.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is this structure that you were talking about before?
This one, it's the refuge. It's the below ground. It's made out of steel. And it won't collapse. It won't collapse. It doesn't crack. It will expand as the dirt shifts. So it's just specifically built to be under the ground for a length of time.
Okay. How many people can fit inside the refuge?
That one's completely really up to what size you choose to go with. The smallest size on this particular shelter is a 5x6 with the height is 6x5. So if you go by what FEMA would recommend, then you'd be probably looking at, believe it or not, about 6 to 8 people can actually be sheltered in that for a storm. Absolutely. And it actually can go up more because I don't know. I think they require 2 feet, maybe 3 feet. But guys, I think it's 2 feet per person.
I would just like to take a little break and mention that FEMA is sponsored by the International Sardine Company.
Oh. Yes.
Another visual.
Doug's full of them today.
Let's hope that we don't try to cram quite that many people into one of
these
shelters.
There's no way. Let me tell you, I think I would just stay above ground and take whatever was coming at me.
You don't really have
many people.
You don't have an option, Amy. The only thing we can do is underground, right?
Well, actually, that's where I step in again. What's my word of the day? No.
Yeah, I would actually like, if we could, to sort of take this, turn it around, and put something above ground, because you guys, you know, it's that whole claustrophobic thing. Mm-hmm. I actually, in kind of stepping backwards just a second, last year I took a youth group full of teenagers to go splunking. And
you
we
are a brave woman.
Nightmare.
Yes. Well, there was only so far that I would go into this cave. And then when it started getting very small, I turned around and went the other way and came straight out. Because let me tell you, my daughter, when she came back out of there, she was head to toe in mud, had a blast. She was talking about little tiny places that she was, you know, wiggling through. And she's teeny tiny. And I said, there's no way. So if we could, let's take it from the splunking aspect back to above ground, and if we could maybe talk about some of our above ground options. Are you guys cool with that?
You bet.
Okay, let's do it.
Once again, Protective Structures offers two types of above ground shelters. The one I'm going to talk about right now is the Guardian Series, and it's by Atlas. This one has a dual purpose. It protects your valuables, and it protects you against intruders. This is actually considered a walk-in vault. It is modular. It can be delivered to your home. You can actually put it together, or we can install it for you, but it really is very simple. It comes in 2-foot panels, and you would decide what size you want based on the area you want to put it. This can be as small as a 2-to-3 person Atlas, and that's a 4x2, and I'm glad you guys are sitting down, because the cost on that, you had mentioned cost earlier, this walk-in vault, which has gone through all the FEMA guidelines as far as testing, so on and so forth. It also has a special Medico grade 1 locking system, which means it's going to take quite a bit for a bad guy to get in there to you if you're using it as a safe room. That's only $3,400.
That's awesome.
You're saying it's less than the 36-gun safe I bought.
I hated to go back to that.
Wow.
But yeah, that this is actually, it's considered a walk-in vault with all those capabilities.
That's just astounding. I'm glad that I'm getting schooled on everything now. Folks, you're listening to Ready Radio. We're coming up on a commercial break. We'd like to remind you we're sponsored by True Prep, the emergency preparedness store, and you're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're talking to Shelley Hill from Protective Structures about a whole bunch of different options that you have to have storm shelters, panic rooms, or even bunkers if you feel the need. This is a really important topic, given the fact that Georgia sees so many tornadoes now. And Shelley, do you have any information about tornadoes in Georgia?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Doug, in 2013, the beginning of, Georgia has just been officially moved into Tornado Alley. The last several years, the Tornado Alley, as we all know, you know, Kansas and all through there, it's been moving east. And now Georgia is averaging about 30 tornadoes per year.
Well, you know, it's true that we've seen some really interesting weather patterns start to develop, and we're starting to see storms that we didn't used to see in these areas. Mm-hmm. We're starting to hear about earthquakes happening mm-hmm. in places like Missouri and other areas where they were not common. The earthquakes are becoming more frequent. There's really been a strange take on weather lately. I remember the tornadoes that hit downtown Atlanta a few years ago that wiped out all the glass in the Georgia World Congress Center.
Absolutely.
These are things that do happen. I mean, we talk about zombies. We talk about things that, you know, are kind of fun and tangential that we can use to extrapolate what could happen. But tornadoes are something that do happen every single year. And these are shelters that a person can put their family in and be safe in that tornado. And it's not single purpose. It's also a place where you can put your valuables and protect them on a daily basis.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit more interested, Doug, in what we had just left off with on before this last commercial break. We talked a little bit about being underground, which I wasn't a big fan of, and then we talked about maybe bringing something above ground. And we were talking about some of the different sizes, and I talked, you know, some of them I'm not real keen about. So I'm interested to know and kind of some of these bigger sizes, Shelley, that you guys have, because let me tell you, I'm not going to be stuck. I love my husband and all, but let me tell you, honey, I'm not going to be stuck because that boy, it depends on what he eats.
too much closeness is not a good thing.
Yes, I'm kind of wondering how you air something like that out.
The one I was just recently talking about was the Guardian series by mm-hmm. Atlas. They have several standard sizes that range from 4 feet by 2 feet that go up to, you know, a 14 to 16 person that would be a 6 by 10. Mm-hmm. Plus they customize. They come in 2 foot panels. So you could lengthen that as your family grows if you leave room for that in preparation. This is an indoor or outdoor shelter. If it's an outdoor shelter, then you would seal it with a silicone to make sure that it's waterproof. Mm-hmm. If it's an indoor shelter and we don't have to worry about the weather, then obviously you don't need to do that. But one of the other good things about this particular storm shelter or safe room is that if you choose to move at some point, since this is modular, you can actually take it apart. It can go with you, or you can choose to leave it in your home, and it will increase the value of your home for resale. Hmm.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. Is this something, I would assume that it's going to be pretty darn heavy. Is this something that if I had a basement or if I were on, you know, just on a, like my house was on a slab or something, where would I put something like this? If it were, you said it was indoors and outdoors. I'm wondering, where the heck am I going to put this indoors?
That's actually a really good question. This particular unit, well, I guess both units that I'm just about to talk about, the next one, they do need to be on a concrete slab. It's got to be at least 4 inches, which is pretty standard, but at least 4 inches. So that could be a garage. That could be a closet. It could be an outside patio. If by chance you don't have a place in your home for it, you can actually have us come out. We'll install a concrete pad for you. Then we can go ahead and put the shelter on top of that.
Well, that's very exciting. I mean, it's nice that we can have options on whether it's going to be interior or exterior. You mentioned another model that you wanted to bring up. What was that?
This last one I wanted to talk about is another above ground shelter. It's called the Storm Closet. This one here is pretty fantastic. We call this our elegant model mm-hmm. because you actually build this into your home.
Does that mean that mm-hmm. it has to be built by a construction with new construction, or can it be retrofitted?
It actually can be retrofitted. You can, as you're building your home, if you want this, then you can be involved, depending on your lifestyle, on where this particular unit would go. And this, once again, is also custom. So if you want it in the master bathroom or master closet or basement or whatever, or even outside, you can put it outside and it will, you know, build around it to look like a shed.
So this one can also be, so the first one you said that basically has to be on a slab. This one, we actually live on in a two-story home and my master bedroom is upstairs. If I were interested in the master closet, even though it's on the upper level. Is that something that's possible or no?
It's actually not. It isn't. Because of the guidelines, it's your sticks and skin, if you want to call it, of the house. It can't withstand. Obviously, we know that. We've seen, you know, F5 tornadoes come through, and that's gone. Mm-hmm. But what stands is the foundation and your storm shelters or safe rooms that have, you know, gone through all the testing.
Okay. So this would be something more so that if I were finishing in a basement and if I wanted to finish in a particular room, mm-hmm. that this would be a better product to kind of go along those lines.
Yeah. And it's, once again, it's kind of a hidden type situation that you don't even know that this storm shelter or this safe room is actually in your home until you need it, because you finish it out with drywall. You'd never even know that that is a, that's in your home.
That's awesome.
Until you absolutely need it.
What about applications that would be on a second story? Do you do safe rooms that you could place on a second story?
Absolutely. It's kind of, safe rooms and tornado shelters are similar when we're talking about these two particular units. But you really can't bring them together on a second floor because of, once again, the guidelines that you have to follow. But what we could do on the second floor is definitely your safe room, your ballistic room with your security system and all that kind of wonderful stuff, then absolutely that's something you can do on a second floor.
You mentioned ballistics. Let me ask you, all of these that we've been talking about, from the Atlas to the closet, are they ballistically rated? Can they take an impact from, you know, a 357 if someone's trying to pound their way in?
Yeah, actually they can. I believe the Atlas, which is the Guardian series, the walk-in vault, now that one is 7-gauge, which means that's really heavy, guys. That's really thick steel, and you're not getting through that. That is definitely got very high ballistic integrity. The storm closet has also got the ballistic integrity. The ground below-ground shelter, obviously, it doesn't need to because it's 18 inches below the ground.
Let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned how affordable the one option was, that it's even cheaper than a large gun safe. What sort of price ranges are we looking at? Something that's the size of a closet or the size of a, you know, a small room?
If we're talking with the storm closet itself, which is the one that can go in the new construction or retrofitted into your existing home, that gets a little bit more pricey because of the installation is a little bit more involved because of wiring and the way the panels, those are 8-inch panels, but 4x6 by a 4x6 and all the height on these are 7x8, that's $7,900.
Oh, wow.
So there is quite a bit of price difference between the refuge below ground shelter, the Guardian Atlas, and the storm closet, so we can meet needs of all different people.
So about the same price as a older used vehicle, you can have a shelter that will not only protect your household goods, but also your family.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, I definitely would rather spend the money on protecting my valuables and my family.
I'm right there with you.
Than an old used vehicle.
We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Shelley a little bit more about how you can get one of these units installed in your home. You're listening to Ready Radio, sponsored by True Prep, the emergency preparedness store, on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. We're talking to Shelley Hill from Protective Structures about bunkers, shelters, and everything you need. We're kind of getting to the point, Shelley, where I want to know, how am I going to get this thing in my garage?
If you're talking about the, the above ground, that comes in panels, so it's delivered to your house. And once again, we could do the install, or you can install it yourself. If you would like to, if you're interested in the below ground shelter, that comes solid as a unit. So it will be delivered to your house in one unit.
Okay. And if I want to get a hold of you guys and get one of these ordered? What's the best way to do that?
You can get a hold of us online, would be great. As a matter of fact, we've just partnered with True Prep. So you can find us at trueprep.com, which is TRUPREP.com.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you have maybe a little discount program for our listeners, everyone who's listening in today?
Yes, sir. We do. You know, guys, if you just mention True Prep when you go to their website for information and, you know, you link with us or you call us personally, it doesn't matter. But just mention True Prep and we'll give you $100 off for installation.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you said that your store is in Jasper. And you have all of these units on display there, is that correct?
Absolutely. Each one of these units that we've just talked about today are all on display in our storefront.
That's fantastic. I'm really excited to hear that you can not only go through the True Prep website to learn more, and I'm sure that they're going to have a whole bunch of information there, but also the salespeople at True Prep will be able to help people who have specific questions. And then if you've got the ability to, just hop on up to Jasper, Georgia, go see Protective Structures, be able to walk through your own, very own bunker and get $100 off when you mention True Prep.
That'd be wonderful. Hey, guys, I just wanted to thank you, Doug, Amy, for having us out today. I appreciate the time. And
thanks,
guys,
for coming. Yeah,
don't forget, guys, just mention True Prep and get $100 off installation. Thanks.
And we're about to move into our product of the week, Amy. I'm looking at our long list of goodies that True Prep has provided. Let's talk about Paracord. Let's make Paracord the True Prep product of the week.
Oh, wait, there it is. Dun, 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 dun.
So what good is Paracord, Amy?
Paracord, Doug, well, Paracord is really cool. Paracord, I kind of think of it as the new duct tape. You know how you can use duct tape for pretty much anything?
Mm-hmm.
Paracord is pretty much the same way. Paracord, for those of you that don't know, Paracord is also short for parachute cord. It has a 550-pound test. It's extremely strong, and it's, you know, kind of small, and it's kind of a fad right now. A lot of people are using Paracord for making bracelets. You see bracelets everywhere. You see dog leashes. You see belts made out of Paracord. And the colors, it's just amazing. I mean, there are more colors than there are in the rainbow.
True Prep says that they have 138 colors of Paracord, I'm told.
I've heard it's 139.
Really? It must be expanding.
It must be. I've seen it. There is an entire wall at True Prep that is covered in Paracord. And the colors are anything from, you know, the solid colors to different combinations of colors. And it's quite addicting, I have to say, because if you're sort of a crafty person that enjoys, you know, being creative and making things, it's a really neat way to have something on hand. And my daughter and I actually make bracelets quite often, and we like to give them away as presents. And in a bracelet, when you're making a Paracord bracelet, for every inch of bracelet, let's say, Doug, that you have maybe an 8-inch or 9-inch bracelet that you're wearing, if you take it apart and unassemble it, for every inch of bracelet, there is a foot of Paracord. So if you're wearing a 9-inch Paracord bracelet, you're walking around with 9 feet of this cord that can be used for so many different things.
But not only do you have 9 feet of the full Paracord, but if you take the outer sheath off of the Paracord, there are 7 strands inside. So then you could multiply that 9 by 7 and end up with 63 feet of high tensile strength string that you could use for a variety of purposes.
That's right. Yeah, I have actually tested that. I've seen people that will tie it together to make fishing line. I've actually tried it as dental floss, and it works.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So that's about the thickness of it?
That's about the thickness. It's very tough, but I would say it's a little thicker than dental floss, so it wasn't, you know, quite as pleasant, I guess, using it. But yeah, I mean, those little bitty strands on the inside, they could be used in emergency situations, like for sutures. If somebody had a big gash and they had to be sutured up, it could be used, like if you're repairing maybe, you know, a fishing net, or even just a regular sewing thread, like if you had a tent or something that needed to be repaired, you could use it for that too.
And having something to do while you're sitting in your shelter is not a bad idea. Being able to braid these things and make a bracelet or something else to distract people, have an activity that is both helpful, entertaining, and useful is a good idea.
yes, I was actually thinking, you know, kind of as we were talking about this today, as we're sitting and as we had Shelley sort of explaining some of these, you know, these bunkers and shelters, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what would I do? So, I mean, I'd want books. I'd want, you know, maybe a deck of cards. And talking about, speaking of books, there is a book that I did pick up all about paracord. It's called Fusion Knots. And it's really neat. It has all kinds of different knots that you can tie. And there is a volume 2, Doug, that came out. You're not going to believe this. They have paracord shoes in this book, How to Make Paracord Shoes.
I don't believe it.
I swear to you.
Wow.
And they're rainbow, so that's a little disturbing, but
do they come in size 13 5e?
Yeah, well, no. You have to
That is the answer of the day for Doug today. Every question I have is no.
I know. That's because you are silly today. Doug, you can customize your paracord shoes and make them whatever size you want, assume.
There we go. So I'm sitting in my shelter. I'm braiding my paracord shoes out of 138 colors, including Acid Midnight Blue, which is my favorite. And what else do I need to have in my shelter, Amy?
Doug, I'm so glad you asked. I would suggest, before paracord, I would suggest maybe some water storage. I would suggest some food storage and something that you could use as a toilet, I think would be my top three.
Do you have any ideas of what would be good toilets to have in an enclosed space like that?
Yeah, there's actually some composting toilets I think would be ideal. They can get quite pricey, at least the composting toilets that I have found. But I will say also, it sounds kind of gross, but you can use a bucket with a little toilet seat lid. And if you have the right materials to sort of cover your bucket after you have used it, it doesn't even smell. So if you have like some wood chips or, you know, some wood shavings, some peat moss, something like that, you can have... you can actually just go right there in a bucket, which, you know, is kind of gross, but, you know, you do what you got to do, Doug.
You know, we have gotten kind of off as a society when we used to have chamber pots before we had running water in every home and sewage and septic tanks. Chamber pots were a standard item. People knew how to do things like this and not get grossed out by it. It really just comes down to making do with what you have. When I lived in Alaska, there were no such things as rest stops with running water. There were outhouses. Mm-hmm. And my 5-year-old and my little 2-year-old had a washcloth that they kept in the car. And do you know what the washcloth was for?
I'm afraid to ask.
To cover their mouth and nose when they went into the outhouse.
Oh, wow.
So that they could go. And you know
good
what?
Idea. Yeah.
It was normal for them. That mm-hmm. was what the washcloth was for. And they didn't think anything about it.
Yeah, that
We've
makes
gotten
sense.
So soft as a society in dealing with some of this stuff. We don't want to deal with blood. We don't want to deal with excrement. We don't want to deal with all of these things that are taken care of for us.
Yes.
But when something goes wrong, they're not going to be taken care of for us anymore. And that's when we've got to step up and do what needs doing.
Yes, and I would much rather have a bucket than not. Because I imagine if I were in an enclosed area that I had all the water that I wanted, if I had all the food that I needed, if I even had a little bunk bed or you know, a little blanket or something to keep me happy, let me tell you, time is of the essence. And I'm going to have to figure out something pretty quick. So I'm thinking, you know, if I had a bucket, I think when it comes down to it, I'd be pretty happy to have it.
Speaking of time, Amy, we're almost out of it. I am looking at our Facebook page right now. You know that we're over 400 likes on Facebook?
Sweet. That's awesome.
And growing all the time. Our Twitter feed has taken off. We have so many followers. I can't even count the number of people who have contacted us this last week with emails. You can email your questions to questions@readyradio.net. If you have anything you'd like to talk for us to talk about on the air, that's the way to get a hold of us. We appreciate your time. I hope that it's been profitable for all of you listening today.
Yes, and absolutely. Doug, something else I wanted to let our listeners know. If you heard something today that you're thinking, oh, I know I've got this friend or this family member that could really benefit from hearing this, and I want to hear what Shelley had to say with the protective structures, you know what? You can go to readyradio.net, and you can actually just take that and forward it to your friends or family, and they can listen to it right there online.
We have a variety of options for everyone to keep up with us in order for them to be better prepared for whatever's coming next for them. Tune in next week. We will be here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town at noon. We hope that you enjoyed it today. Have a good week, everybody.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Thursdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.